Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. Michigan, Ohio State this weekend. A lot of big rivalry games in college football this time of the year. As you know, we'll also talk some Week 12 in the National Football League with the former NFL running back. And also played his college ball at Michigan. Friend of show, one of my favorites, the great Leroy Horde. Leroy, how you been?
What's up, Zach? What's going on?
Well, I'm doing great. Happy Thanksgiving, first and foremost. Kind of take me through the behind the scenes tomorrow in your household on what it looks like in Thanksgiving.
Well, one, I'm not cooking this year because we decided to go over somebody else's house. But there's a plan. See, I hate going over other people's house. See, I don't mind cooking Thanksgiving food. You know why? Because I'm going to like it. Right? So as a person who loves to eat, you playing Russian roulette going over by other folks' house.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Hoping you're going to enjoy what they cook. So I have a couple of contingency plans. One, I'm bringing over some seafood quiche. With a little crab and shrimp and whatnot, a little spicy. And then I'm going to bring some I have learned a long time ago, if I'm going to somebody's house, do not expect them to have sweet potato pie. That is a friendship ender. There's only been 1 year that I didn't have sweet potato pie in my life. I was hoodwinked, and I'm no longer friends with that person, but that's okay.
I don't like this because you said it. I know that you're trying to have some checks and balances in case if the food is not good, but Thanksgiving is sacred in my family. To go over to someone else's house and run the risk of having bad food, because you're a talk show host now, and you know me as well. We are usually very honest and very opinionated, and that's always an awkward spot where you go to someone's house and the food isn't good because – you don't want to offend them, but then I feel like I owe it to them to tell them their food sucks.
No, here's what happens with me, right? Somebody will cook something, and then they'll hover. Like, my opinion.
Like, let me enjoy
the opinion
it.
They're waiting for. But, you know, and so now I feel obligated to, you know, oh, it's nice, it's nice. But here's the kicker. When I do that, then they got to tell me the origin of each item. And I don't want to hear the explanation behind the key lime pie or whatever. I just want to get my eat on.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Now, in my family, we got rid of the turkey years ago. Because turkey,
whoa.
It's overrated. Overrated.
Not overrated, my man.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so here it is. You're from up north.
So you fry the turkey is what you're going to say.
Yes, sir.
That's the only way that you could serve turkey, in my opinion, at Thanksgiving, is if you fry it.
Or, because again, you're up north, so you don't fully understand.
Cajun?
Nope, I spatchcock it. You know what that is?
Explain.
You split it, you season it, you brine it, but then you split it and lay it flat and put it on your grill.
Okay. But you will agree, if turkey was so great, we would have it more than once a year the way that we eat it on Thanksgiving. I think it's overrated.
You think turkey's overrated?
Mm-hmm. We do lasagna. That's the featured dish in our household. Yeah, come on. Leroy, if you
That's
do Thanksgiving
awesome,
with
yeah.
me, if you do Thanksgiving with me and you have the Gelb lasagna, you will thank me. Because anyone that ever criticizes my approach on Thanksgiving, I always say, try the lasagna. Once they try the lasagna, they go, okay, I could see why you do it this way. And I get a lot of DMs on Thanksgiving of people saying, wow, your family does Thanksgiving right. Like, I am the voice for the voiceless because I say the things that people don't want to say, and that's that turkey's not that good.
I got to tell you, man, listen, I probably would enjoy your lasagna, but where I'm from, that's called Tuesday.
Not a Bob Gelb lasagna. My father, he's got sausage in the lasagna, pepperoni on top of the lasagna. That's all you need, my friend. That's all you need.
Well, guess what? I'm from New Orleans. We still call that Tuesday. Right?
Leroy Horn here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So you know me. I want to see Michigan win. All throughout the year, I felt very confident about this game. Now with the game being here and the uncertainty with the both of the running backs, obviously led by Blake Corman, just not knowing where they're going to be health-wise, I'm a little bit concerned on this game.
So am I. But you know, I've been pleasantly surprised by their defense, the way they've been able to shut some teams down. So from that standpoint, there's a chance. Ohio State hasn't been, you know, a barn burner this year, but they have dominated. I'm worried about those running backs, man, because that's where Michigan starts and finishes with that run, you know, and I'm a little bit nervous about that. But at the same time, I mean, are you confident that Ohio State can just run away with it? Because I'm not. Although, I mean, for the last 5 or 10 years, I've never seen so many wide receivers come through a program. The only other team I could think of is Alabama.
And I don't even think C.J. Stroud, who could win the Heisman, I don't think he's even been playing that great this year. There's been some times where I go, okay, he's just been good. He's going to need a great game to win if Michigan can dominate the trenches, which they have the team that they could do that. But like the Corum injury, you'll know early how bad it is and if he's going to be able to go throughout the entire game.
Absolutely, because when he came back the second half, you could tell after one carry, nope, he's done. But I would, you know, I'd take it even a step further. Like, it's not a matter of whether, you know, I think Ohio State can do all these things, but Michigan has managed to do it without any quarterback play, right? Because without Corum, then you're relying on J.J. McCarthy. And I got to tell you, he ain't the same guy I saw last year that we couldn't wait for him to get more opportunities. And I don't know why that is, because right now he couldn't hit water from a boat. And I don't know why. I can't explain it, but it's frustrating because I thought that this was going to take us to that next level. You look at Ohio State. They've been throwing away quarterbacks for the last 10 years. They got rid of a Heisman Trophy winner. So, like, we can't get one of those guys. So I think if I have any concern, it would be that J.J. McCarthy is going to be forced to make plays. I don't know how confident I would be if I'm a Michigan fan. Is he going to be capable of doing it?
Well, let me ask you this, because all throughout the year, they haven't asked him to really step up and throw the football 40-something times a game and go need a 350-yard performance. You know, I wonder if when you're playing the role of that game manager, like the thought is, okay, you just don't got to mess it up. Now, he hasn't excelled the way that I would think, but I wonder if they say, okay, now let it rip. We need you to win the game. How he would respond to that if Corum's that banged up.
I don't know, man. A game manager in college? Right? Think about what you're saying. Like, if you're a game manager in college, then they got questions about you.
Yeah.
Because everybody's flinging it.
But their their formula this year has been to run. They'd be stupid to cut any of Corum carries to throw the football more.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I just think if you're calling a guy a manager of the game in college, that usually means that people have doubts on his abilities.
Sure. No, you're not wrong on that. Leroy Horde here with us. I'm just wondering from the mental side of it. You know how big this game is. This year, it was very clear, and I know that there were some hiccups along the way, but everyone survived, that 4 or 5 weeks into the year, you could look at that schedule and say, Ohio State's going to be undefeated at the end of the year. Michigan's going to be undefeated at the end of the year. Do we even know really what these teams are heading into this final week of the season? Because we've all built it up that they'll both be undefeated at the end of the year, and we just kind of thought it was a foregone conclusion.
I think if you look at it, it would almost appear as if a Big Ten school was playing an SEC school, right? Athletic, fast, runners, big plays, all these things what Ohio State does. And Michigan is the methodical, control the line of scrimmage, control the game, doing stuff like that. And I think that's one of the things that I'm going to be interested to see because, you know, one of the reasons why Michigan hasn't been able to compete with the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the Georgias is because once they get done with their season, that style of football is only good up north. Down here, everybody's naked. You know, they run around in shorts and helmets and just playing fast football. Ohio State is closer to that, whereas they have a ton of speed, a ton of athletes. They can also run the ball if they have to, but they're a big play threat waiting to happen.
Leroy Horde here with us. Is this the final month or so of Jim Harbaugh's career at Michigan? Do you think he's going to go back to the NFL?
I don't know. Like, it's hard to get a read on that whole situation because you have to understand how much that man loves him some Michigan football. And if you understand that, then you could understand if he does or doesn't, how difficult it really is, right? He was the quarterback there. He was the equivalent to if Peyton Manning went back and coached Tennessee. That's where he is right now. Now, what would you give that up for? You see what I mean? And I don't know, you know, I try to put myself in it. I don't know that there's an opportunity out there that would be any better than this opportunity that he's been able to have and will be able to have for as long as he wants.
What happens, and I know it's not the same, but he did play with the Colts. What happens if Irsay calls him up and says, I'll give you full control and you're the head coach?
Nope. No way. I like it. Nothing against the Colts, and I'm more than sure he would love the opportunity with the Colts. Did you see the last press conference Jim Irsay had?
I enjoy when you start trashing the Colts because you know my producer, Hot Take Hickey, he's a Colts sycophant. So.
He's also a Penn State fan, so you're like 0-2 right now in football season, buddy.
And you know what? Each and every week he has to sit here, and I know the motivation behind it. He goes, I want to see the college football playoff expansion. 12 teams is the right number. And I go, yeah, because your team's never getting into a 4-team playoff.
Zach, let me tell you what would be the best thing, right? In order to get the full idea of who's the best team in college football, you have a playoff system, and you have some of these southern teams go up and have to play in the north, right? So if Ohio State's the second team in the country or Michigan's the third team and you go to 12 teams or what have you, those teams got to travel up to Michigan. Those teams got to travel up to Ohio State. Because if you realize where college football is, everything is played in the convenience of the South. Nobody has to come and play in the snow. But there's no stakes. The only teams that are playing for stakes in the snow is the Big Ten and maybe the Pac-12 every now and then.
Yeah,
Let's
but you know what?
Some of those southern schools up north.
You know what? I'm fine with that because then there's really are no excuses for James Franklin for losing another big game. If that happens, if someone has to go travel to Penn State.
Hey, man, shots fired. I wasn't even like, I don't have to say nothing. Look, I don't have to say nothing about how I take it. You know why? Because we know what happened. You know, we just let it go.
Yeah, like, you know what the best part about this is? Earlier in the year, Michigan's going to lose four games. Michigan's not that good of a team. That's all the things he was saying. Harbaugh, fraudulent, one-year wonder. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Notice,
hey, you
he's
did,
quiet
you
here.
Did shut out Maryland, though.
Leroy Horde here with us. All righty, how does the game play out? Right now, Leroy Horde's opinion, who wins Michigan-Ohio State?
Well, here's what I know about this game. No matter what, if there's points given, take the underdog. I played in enough of them. I played in games where we were big-time favorites and had to win on the last-second field goal. The game is just bonkers in itself. It is one of the most nerve-wracking, intense experiences you will ever have as a college athlete. It is so much fun, but it's so stressful because the game changes back and forth multiple times. I don't think Ohio State's 8.5 points?
Yeah, 7.5.
7.5. So it moved. I don't think Ohio State is a touchdown better than Michigan.
So what you're saying, this is what I'm hearing. Take the points, but you think Ohio State's going to win.
Hell no. I ain't going to never give into that. What is wrong with you?
That's what it sounded like. I asked you who's going to win. If you really thought it was going to be Michigan, you would have said Michigan right from the jump. Instead, you gave us this whole spiel about take the points because it'd be a close game.
I thought our friendship was such that you didn't have to try to read body language and stuff like that. You're trying to read into my soul. I'm not under no circumstance on a national radio show, and am I going to give Ohio State flowers.
Okay.
Right?
I like it.
I was just giving you a breakdown of the game.
I hope you're right.
Michigan 30, Ohio State 27.
I hope you're right. Okay, so then Michigan makes a college football playoff. You have Georgia in. Who's your other two teams that will get in?
You got Georgia. TCU's going to get in. You can't. Here.
Does USC beat Notre Dame and then win the Pac-12? That's the big thing. Does USC win Notre Dame? So then those are four teams. You have TCU. You have USC. You like Michigan. And then you put Georgia in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it could get crazy for this reason. Because the team with the best resume in the country is Tennessee. And you might not want to hear this, but they've had the best strength of schedule all year.
But they just lost to South Carolina, and their quarterback's not done for the year.
Oh, all right, they're done.
Yeah,
I forgot about that little. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, that's it. So I would say those teams. I would say Tennessee. I hate the lurkers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really hate the lurkers because you never know how these guys. Or thinking, you don't know what these guys, some of these guys really want to push, you know, what'll give us the best matchup? What'll do this? What'll do that? And they're not necessarily just putting teams in based on what they've done.
The eye test is what you usually hear for that stuff. That
right.
means we want the bigger brand in the school that's going to make us more money. Last one exactly. for you. We know the Dolphins are going to win this weekend. That game's not even going to be close, you would think. But the confidence of the Dolphins fan right now with what they've been able to do and where they think this season is heading to is what?
Oh, my goodness. Like, it's amazing to me. Here's what I love about fans all over the country. Hope kills, right? If you remember how crazy Jets fans were when the season started? Ooh, we beat the Patriots this week. We're going to be in first place, baby. Yeah. No, it doesn't work like that. You have Zach Wilson as quarterback. Okay? But I just think that right now, the way this team is playing, and I'm going to tell you, kudos to Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I got to give him credit.
He took the same guys, and they look like a different team.
He's a little bit more than a media darling.
Huh?
He's a little bit more than a media darling. Before the year, everyone's like, oh, I love this guy because he talks to me, blah, blah, blah. That's what a lot of people were saying. And I was like, all right, what does he really do great? Like, what do you love about him? I didn't get an answer. Well, whatever he's doing is clearly working.
It is phenomenal. Now, when he does pressers, he's a little bit of a scatterbrain. Right? Because I think that some
like
people
Hickey.
Are so smart. Huh?
He's like Hickey, you know, when he talks about Penn State.
Well, no.
Except you actually get winning results, so that's a bad comparison.
Some people are so smart that they not only try to answer your question, but they try to figure out the follow-up questions and start answering them. So it just seems like they're rambling.
Yeah.
You've had people like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it happens. That's the way he thinks, which is how most football coaches think. So I love the way, look. My only complaint about, and we've had this conversation a number of times, my only complaint about Brian Flores is this. Tua was in the same spot you were in. He was a new guy.
Yeah.
You were a new coach. You wanted people to be patient with your process. And then you turn around and trash your quarterback. Like, it made no sense. Like, why wouldn't, and so one of the things I liked about what Mike McDaniel did the second he got the job, He gave all his support to Tua. Because guess what? If it doesn't work out, you won't say it's because we didn't support him. That's how you go about treating your players. You give them all the support. You brought them in. They didn't ask for, Tua didn't ask to play for the Dolphins. And so what he's done is he's the same way. They won the first three games, lost the next three games. He was consistent with his demeanor, who he was. And so he's a genuine dude. And so from that standpoint, it seems like the players rally behind it. There's a little more oomph to the things that they do. And it shows up on Sunday.
Leroy Horde, have a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully your dinner plans go okay, and I always appreciate the time.
Enjoy that Gelb family lasagna.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you doing?
Don't worry. I'll send you a video tomorrow. I'll send you some photos, and you will say, yep, I was wrong. You'll show some accountability, unlike Zach Wilson. You'll admit when you're wrong.
All right, brother.
There he is, Leroy Horde on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do Take 5 next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, Take 5 time. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can take around the auto parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Real quickly, before I get to college, and then we'll do NFL. Hickey, when we have a guest on the air destroying you, I've realized that you don't really go back at them. You just sit there and let the guest destroy you. Why didn't you jump in and kind of fight back with Leroy Horde and put him in his place?
I just don't feel like that's my place. I just, you know, let you and Leroy take swings. Like I think it would be rude if I just jumped in out of nowhere.
He
and just interrupted what he was saying.
He was like Matt the Steamroller Frivola at UFC 281 when he was going up against
you know what?
That segment.
When Jim Harbaugh was coaching the Colts last year, next year I'll have the last laugh. Colts will be better. Michigan will be worse. Yeah. We'll see who's laughing this time next year.
Penn State still won't be able to win a big game.
Well, that's a whole different story. The future is bright. The future is bright, fellas. That's all I get. Enjoy it. Get your jokes in now.
You've been telling me this for 5 years.
You know, little jabs, little snickers in now.
Okay.
The future is coming, and it's
look at my hand.
Almost here. It's shaking.
No,
folks,
it's
I know
not.
No one can see. It is wobbling.
What are you
the
talking
sweat
about?
Is dripping off his hands. He can't hold it straight.
You know what? Your nose is now growing as you say that. How did your nose just hit the
no,
microphone?
I'm no
out of
Pinocchio.
Nowhere?
I only
now
tell the truth.
Ryan Hot Take Hickey Pinocchio. That's what we're gonna start calling you. That's a mouthful.
That's too much. Sorry.
Ryan
can't
Fake News Hickey. All right, here we go. College football. In at number 5, USC just survived against UCLA. I thought they were going to lose the game. Caleb Williams right now may be the best player in college football, especially with the way that he's playing. Lincoln Riley is working his Heisman magic again. And with the transfer quarterback, I like USC in at number 5. 4, TCU. I thought that was going to be a rough game up against Baylor. I thought it was going to be close. I thought it was going to be a flip of the coin. It was. Sonny Dykes at the end of that game, who probably is going to be the coach of the year if they go undefeated. First year walking in, his fourth job as a college football coach. To have that team undefeated, Duggan not the guy in the beginning of the year, then the guy. And Johnson, who's a stud wide receiver. How they ran the play with 20-something seconds left and then wanted to rush their kicker onto the field and have him running from the sideline to then go kick. I didn't love it, but it ended up working. TCU, they went on that great 4 or 5 week stretch. They've been undefeated, we know, the entire year, but that 4 or 5 week stretch, they've just beat top 25 team after top 25 team. They're in at number 4. 3, I've been vacillating all throughout the year. Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan's at 3 just because I don't know. I do think Michigan, if they're healthy, they are a better team than Ohio State with the way that they're built inside the trenches. But with the unknown by the two running backs of how healthy they're going to be, that drops them to number 3, 2 Ohio State, and then 1. The creme de la creme of college football going back to last year, Georgia. Hot take, Hickey. Wow. We only have one more or two more take 5 when it comes to college football, Hickey. Because we'll do one next week.
I guess probably one more, right? Because by the time we do it 2 Wednesdays from now, we already know the top 4.
That's true.
And by that point, number 5 will be irrelevant.
That's right.
So, wow, one last week.
And here's the difficult part with this segment. When I do Speak Now, Forever Hold Your Peace, you usually have good teams. When you get this late in the game, because you're fighting for a battle of four teams and you know who has asserted themselves by now or who's the shortlist is, speak now, forever hold your peace gets a little bit tougher this time of the year. So what are you rolling with?
Yeah, there's only one team. The committee has him at number five. How come LSU is not in your top five?
Lost to Florida State in the beginning of the year and then got blown out by Tennessee. They got two losses on the resume. I know they're trending in the right direction, but unless they run out, win out and win their next two games and beat Georgia, I just don't see them in the top five for me. Okay. NFL. This is tough because the last 2 weeks, the landscape has really changed. You just go from last week to this week. Minnesota was easily in the top five last week, beating Buffalo. This week, Hickey, I'll make a little revelation to you. They're not in my top five. You have two blowout losses to the Cowboys, one of the better teams in the NFC. The Eagles, maybe the best team in the NFC. It shows that they're really, really good. But when you go up against the elite NFC teams, there is a big separation between teams like the Eagles, teams like the Cowboys, and the Minnesota Vikings. So, with that being said, in at number five, I'm going Buffalo. Buffalo bounces back. They got off to that slow start against the Browns after losing two in a row. Then they put up 25 unanswered. They are in the top five still because of the talent on that team and how well-rounded that team is. Number four, I'm putting the Dolphins in there. Right now, I give the Dolphins a slight edge against the Bills. The Dolphins have beat the Ravens. The Dolphins have beat Buffalo. Miami just keeps on stacking victories, and they believe in the coach. They believe in Tua Tagovailoa as well, and they're a solid, just well-rounded football team, and I think Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to be an excellent trade to complement him with Raheem Mostert and basically recreate the 49ers' backfield in South Florida. It was a good move. Number three. Here we go, Hickey. How about them Cowboys? I'm putting the Dallas Cowboys in at three. I do look at last year where they were 7-3 at this point, and they lost to the Raiders on Thanksgiving. I do believe they're going to beat the Giants coming up tomorrow. The Cowboys, to me, are a team in the regular season where they can impress you. They could say, okay, they're looking great, but come playoff time, what are you going to do? Because last year, we threw all the flowers early on at the Cowboys, and everyone praised them, and then come playoff time, they couldn't even get out of the first round, couldn't get ready for the 49ers, couldn't even get the ball off in the final 13 seconds. But Dallas right now, that defense led by Micah Parsons is awesome. Dak was great last week, and Tony Pollard continues to show you week in and week out he's the best running back on that roster. And CeeDee Lamb starting to look more and more like he is a number one wide receiver, which is a big concern entering the year with no more Amari Cooper and maybe, just maybe, Odell Beckham's joining there. Two, I'm going the Eagles. I know not the greatest performance against the Indianapolis Colts, but they did win the game. They only have one loss on the season. I put Philly in at number two. And then one, best team in football right now. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Doesn't matter who you throw the football to. Well, you know Kelsey's great, but Isaiah Pacheco, 1 week out of the backfield, has been good. They just have guys that just continue to make plays week in and week out. And that defense can make timely stops, as they showed you once again. Even though they're not a great defense, they know how to make the timely stop. So my top five in the NFL, Bills 5, Dolphins 4, Cowboys 3, Eagles 2, and Chiefs 1. Hot take, Hickey, speak now, forever hold your peace.
Well, what about the Vikings? 8-2, one of the best records in the NFL.
Got blown out by Philly, top five team in football. Got blown out by the Cowboys, top five team in football. I know they beat Buffalo, but that was in, like, the craziest game possible where Josh Allen fumbled the ball at the goal line. It's just against the elite teams, they do concern me because they show you more times than not that they lose than win.
What about a team that's starting to heat up a little bit in the 49ers?
Got to see more consistency. You can make a case their best win was this win against the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals, opponent-wise, they stink, but it was their most complete game of the year that they played. Now, the Rams, they dominate, but the Rams aren't that good. They played up against Kansas City. They got blown out by Kansas City. I think the 49ers can be trending in the right direction. They have the talent to be trending in the right direction, but they just got to show it to me more consistently. So that's why I have the 49ers out. Anyone else?
No, that's really it.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, let me just ask you real quickly. What's your order for college football? Mine was Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, USC.
I should keep that exact order.
Okie dokie. NFL, I went Chiefs, Eagles, Cowboys, Dolphins, Bills. You are?
I would go Chiefs, Eagles, Dolphins, Bills, I would put the Cowboys in over Minnesota right now.
Gotcha. So we have the same five teams, just a different order. All righty. That's Take 5. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will come on back. And when we return, we will do a little news brief update here on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Update time first. Wearing a flannel shirt, not a T-shirt. I misspoke. My bad. A flannel shirt, a Yankees hat. He's looking dapper, as the kids would say. He's looking like $1 million. And he's getting ready for a big Thanksgiving. Marco Belletti, how you doing, by the way?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Can't complain. It's a Friday on a Wednesday. This is wonderful. And Thanksgiving's tomorrow.
Tremendous. This is the last one. I get to go home. I found a parking spot. I didn't pay for parking. I'm thrilled.
Is this your last Thanksgiving, you're saying, until they make you work for another 35 years straight? Is that what happens?
Hey, man. The streak is over. And that's all that matters.
Marco
one year,
Belletti,
that's all that matters.
How old are you?
44.
44. And your last Thanksgiving traditional where you've not had to work was when you were what, 15?
It was 95 was the last Thanksgiving I didn't have to work.
Wow.
So I was 16, I guess. 16, 17? I don't know. I got to do the math. 16, 17, right? 17.
Yeah. So do you have an idea of what the spread is for tomorrow for Thanksgiving?
I have to do like a couple of spies. I got to go to the in-laws. Then I got to go to my sister. So we got to do a little bit of a bounce around.
The marathon tour.
I'm doing a little bit of a bounce around. They're only about 40 minutes apart. So that's not an issue of driving. I said from the start, look, I basically had to introduce myself to my family. First one, I'm going to be there for Thanksgiving a long time.
They'd be like, who's this homeless stranger?
Which is what I said to my wife. I said, well, you could pick where we're going. You could pick what we're doing. The only thing I asked for was that my fat ass is in front of a TV at 4:30 when the Giants start. That's the only thing I asked for.
Can I just make a recommendation?
Mm-hmm.
I think your wife should do the driving from house to house.
That's not going to happen.
No, here's why. You were not used to the amount of eating that you're going to be doing at Thanksgiving because you have not had the traditional Thanksgiving in a while. I'm just concerned about Marco Belletti getting in a little bit of a food coma.
I'm sure I will. There might be some issues there. I am a fat man. I'm sure I could figure that out, and I can get us to and from. But, yeah, she's not going to drive. That's not going to happen.
Maybe a little digital idea, like driving with the Belettis, and just get a camera on you, because I could see Marco cursing people off, weaving in and out of the lanes, going nuts. I could see you being a crazy driver, a little road rage.
There is some rage. I've definitely mellowed as I've gotten older. This is one thing that I guess a good thing and a bad thing. Since I quit smoking, and that's been years now.
Cigarettes, you're talking.
Yes, and that's I don't do anything else. And that's a good thing, I guess. But what it did do is bringing the rage back. When I was smoking and I was in the car, I was a lot more mellow. I could handle getting cut off a lot better now. Now I don't have my vice to kind of calm me down.
You know what we may need to do for the safety of your family? When in Philadelphia a few years back, they had a rage cage at the Wells Fargo Center for Flyers games. You could just go into a room and just break things if you were mad at the team, and then you would come out and be a normal human being. I think we may need to set up a little rage cage here so you could be okay tomorrow.
I think I'm a little too old for all that stuff. If I can't, you know, keep it together, a little bit of a problem.
I could see you, though, when you were like 25 in a mosh pit at like some heavy metal concert.
I had some anger issues in my younger days. That's definitely a case. And I will point out, I never smoked in the car with anybody, actually, like the kids in it. I never did that. I never smoked around my kids.
Oh, okay.
I never smoked around, you know, I didn't do that.
I was assuming you were.
Yeah, just throw it out there before I wind up getting all the tweets and whatnot. You know, save it. Now I know, and I never did. And now I quit, so, you know, leave me alone.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Drop everything and hurry to the Xfinity Black Friday sale. You'll save big when you get Xfinity internet and mobile. Now through December 5th, new customers can get HBO Max included for 1 year with internet. And for a limited time, learn how to get $500 off an eligible 5G phone when you add Xfinity Mobile. Drop everything and get to the Xfinity Black Friday sale. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Add supported plan of HBO Max. Phone promo ends December 6, 2022. Xfinity Mobile requires postpay Xfinity internet.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Hickey, just wondering, if you could just look at me real quickly. How do you spell Saleh?
S-A-L-E-H.
Okay, gotcha. You spelt it two different ways on the sound sheet that you've given me. That's why I was just wondering if you knew how to spell it. Or if maybe you were conflicted a little bit.
No, that's a classic copy and paste job. That's on me.
That's all good. You took accountability, unlike the Jets quarterback and Zach Wilson. Here's Robert Saleh on why he feels benching Zach Wilson is the right move.
The young man needs a reset. His decision-making's been fine. His practice habits, all that stuff have been fine. But there's some basic fundamental things that have gotten really out of whack for him. And this is just an opportunity for him to sit back, focus on those things, find a way to get reconnect to all the different things that we fell in love with during the draft process.
Hickey, this isn't, though, about his poor play. Like, don't get me wrong. He's been bad. But I don't think he's getting benched just because he's been bad. I think he's getting benched, or I know he's getting benched, because he didn't take any accountability after the loss, and then the locker room started to get divided because the locker room was annoyed at the quarterback.
I think it's both. Like, I think it's if he just said yes to the question of, are you the reason, or
he's
do you
playing
feel
this
guilt?
Weekend.
Yes. But also at the same time, like, his play is not warranting where even if you made that comment, you would still be able to play on Sunday because you're that good. Like, he stinks, and he's not a leader. It's 0-2. If you played well, and it's easier to massage the lack of leadership. You could give the team a speech and then move on. He stinks, and he's not a leader.
But you would agree the main reason why he's getting benched, if you had to go one way or another, is because he took zero accountability after the loss.
Yes.
Okay.
I think they're tied together.
Okay. Robert Saleh says the future is still bright for Zach Wilson.
Zach's career here is not over. I know that's going to be the narrative. I know that that's what everybody wants to shout out, and that's not even close to the case. The intent, the full intent, is to make sure Zach gets back on the football field at some point this year. When that is, I'll make that decision. I'm going to take it day to day.
When do you think the timing is right? Is it just until Mike White kind of bottoms out? For example, they lose to the Bears this weekend. Mike White doesn't play well. Is he playing their next game? Zach Wilson?
Ooh. Maybe. Yeah.
Don't give me a maybe. Give me a yes or no.
Is he? I think it's going to be more than a one game benching. I would probably
say
no.
The game after that is Minnesota.
You lose both of those games, you're 6-6. Then
you bring
him
back against Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, that's the only game he played well in.
I know, but that's. Jeez. But with the way they handle that question, you open Pandora's box. So if you don't get put back in a favorable spot, shouldn't have said what you said in the first place, I guess. Zach Wilson gives his initial reaction to getting benched.
It's tough, man, and it's never fun. But, you know, the first thing kind of went through my mind is I got to get to work. I got to get better. And I'm going to approach that every single day and just keep working to get better.
So eventually he's going to be asked about the criticism he's been receiving for saying he takes zero accountability pretty much for the loss when they asked him. Do you feel like you let defense down? He just said no, when we all know the reason they lost that game was because of Zach Wilson against the Patriots twice. This is a big answer that you're about to hear, because if he handles it poorly, then I don't think he could salvage his career. But if you handle it the right way and then continue to prove that you have changed, then maybe you could salvage your career with the Jets I'm talking about. Zach Wilson says he's earned all the criticism he received this week for his lack of accountability.
You know what? It's deserved. You know, the way that I handled the situation wasn't right. You know, I got to be a better football player, and then I got to be a better leader for these guys. And you know what? I have an opportunity to turn the page here as a player and as a leader, and to be able to take a step forward and be able to be here 100% for my guys.
Hickey, if you hear that, now you said the right thing. But if you're a teammate, are you now okay? We're good with Zach Wilson, or you got to see more?
I would need to hear what he said to the team privately. I don't think something just publicly, like, hey, I deserve the bashing, is good enough.
And I would imagine that he seemed genuine in front of the team, because if he didn't, I think we would have heard about that by now. Someone would have leaked that through sources in the media. Aaron Rodgers discusses playing through a broken right thumb on the Pat McAfee Show.
I mean, I've broken other fingers in the past. I played a stretch in college with my index finger, my throwing hand broken. I broke my pinky on both hands. various times, cracked, you know, wrist, non-throwing, you know, it's, which makes certain things painful, getting snaps or whatever. But, you know, if I still feel I can go out there and throw it the way I want to throw it, then obviously I'm going to keep playing.
Is this Rodgers making an excuse? I don't think so. I think it's just him being honest. And he still thinks he's good enough to go out there and play. But does this come off with him going in detail about this maybe as an excuse? And he said that he also did go on to say we won't play it. But he was asked if surgery on his thumb was like ever considered. And clearly he hasn't got the surgery. So I would say it's probably no, right?
I would say it's not an excuse. No, I don't think he's throwing it out. I think just being honest. I mean, the camera zooms in on his thumb every single throw he makes every game. It's obviously an issue.
Yeah.
I appreciate the honesty rather than, oh, I'm fine, don't talk about it. And then after the season, you hear about it.
I would agree. All right, actually, let's play that one. Rodgers asked if surgery on his thumb was ever considered.
No, I don't think so. Just it's not like Dak or those guys. It's not as severe as those
guys. I don't know
what
they had, but it probably wasn't. No. Okay.
And finally, Carson Wentz gives his reaction to getting benched for Taylor Ham Heineke.
It's part of the business, and I totally understand where we're at as a team and everything else. And, you know, obviously, as a competitor, you want to be out there. You know, I'd be lying to say, you know, you come to work, you want to play. You know, that's just, you grow up and it's what you sign up for. But at the same time, I have a great relationship with Taylor and with all the guys. And I've been happy to see him succeed and what he's been able to do. And I'm going to do what I can to help and support him and be a part of this and stay ready to go because we know this league's crazy and things happen. And I'll stay ready to go.
Who starts the game first, Wentz or Wilson?
Wilson.
I would agree. By the way, the Commanders next few weeks, Falcons, Giants, then a bye week, and the Giants. I think just as long as Taylor Ham Heineke is 2-1, right? You win one of the Giants game, beat the Falcons this week, even if you're 1-2, I don't even know if you're thinking about making a change with the way that that team has won 4 out of 5 games with him as the quarterback and 2-4 with Carson Wentz. For Zach Wilson, he's number 2 overall pick. He hasn't had multiple chances like Carson Wentz on multiple teams. I think for Zach Wilson, the moment Mike White slips up or they see that opening to get back Zach Wilson onto the field, they're going to do so because they invested a second-round pick in him.
Something that I think a lot of us can relate to, unfortunately, is just how frustrating dating can be. Not that it has to be that way, but at times I think the potential frustration that comes from dating is very real, especially when you're swiping on apps and you're looking at these people where you don't even know if they're ready to connect at the level that you really would like to connect at. And that's why I want to talk to you about eHarmony, which really is the dating app to get someone who gets you. And they have a lot of tools to help you find a real connection, because I think that's what we're looking for, a real, genuine, deep connection. So they have a compatibility quiz, and it's designed with questions to learn who you really are as a person in a way that might not come out of a typical dating profile. So a lot of the apps don't take the time to get to know who each and every person is. And then they have a personality profile. So once you take the compatibility quiz, you learn about your unique characteristics, desires, behaviors, interests, and habits, and then those that will match you up with the right person. So it's more than you're going to get out of a random one-line answer that most of the apps provide. And really, eHarmony has helped millions of people find a truly authentic connection, because that's what you're looking for, someone who appreciates you for all of you, your quirks, your passions, your vulnerabilities, and more. Start a conversation on eHarmony for free today. Download the eHarmony app now and get someone who gets you. Something that I think a lot of us can relate to, unfortunately, is just how frustrating dating can be. Not that it has to be that way, but at times I think the potential frustration that comes from dating is very real, especially when you're swiping on apps and you're looking at these people where you don't even know if they're ready to connect at the level that you really would like to connect at. And that's why I want to talk to you about eHarmony, which really is the dating app to get someone who gets you. And they have a lot of tools to help you find a real connection, because I think that's what we're looking for, a real, genuine, deep connection. So they have a compatibility quiz, and it's designed with questions to learn who you really are as a person in a way that might not come out of a typical dating profile. So a lot of the apps don't take the time to get to know who each and every person is. And then they have a personality profile. So once you take the compatibility quiz, you learn about your unique characteristics, desires, behaviors, interests, and habits, and then those that will match you up with the right person. So it's more than you're going to get out of a random one-line answer that most of the apps provide. And really, eHarmony has helped millions of people find a truly authentic connection, because that's what you're looking for, someone who appreciates you for all of you, your quirks, your passions, your vulnerabilities, and more. Start a conversation on eHarmony for free today. Download the eHarmony app now and get someone who gets you. Something that I think a lot of us can relate to, unfortunately, is just how frustrating dating can be. Not that it has to be that way, but at times I think the potential frustration that comes from dating is very real, especially when you're swiping on apps and you're looking at these people where you don't even know if they're ready to connect at the level that you really would like to connect at. And that's why I want to talk to you about eHarmony, which really is the dating app to get someone who gets you. And they have a lot of tools to help you find a real connection, because I think that's what we're looking for, a real, genuine, deep connection. So they have a compatibility quiz, and it's designed with questions to learn who you really are as a person in a way that might not come out of a typical dating profile. So a lot of the apps don't take the time to get to know who each and every person is. And then they have a personality profile. So once you take the compatibility quiz, you learn about your unique characteristics, desires, behaviors, interests, and habits, and then those that will match you up with the right person. So it's more than you're going to get out of a random one-line answer that most of the apps provide. And really, eHarmony has helped millions of people find a truly authentic connection, because that's what you're looking for, someone who appreciates you for all of you, your quirks, your passions, your vulnerabilities, and more. Start a conversation on eHarmony for free today. Download the eHarmony app now and get someone who gets you.